Amen. Praise the Lord. Hello. I'm Brother Matt Watkins. Y'all don't believe that. Wow, here's you expecting this young, dynamic, dark-headed. And look what you got. Oh, boy. Brother Matt actually texted me yesterday and said he was really, really sick, and sick on Thursday and then sick on again yesterday, so wasn't able to come. So hope for the Lord to help us and you won't be too disappointed. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. I'm just happy to be in church on Saturday night. I imagine if you'd rather be anywhere else, you would be. That's what most folks do anymore. And I mean, I'm convinced, and been convinced for a long time, whatever folks want to do, they're going to do it. Whether it's right or wrong or in or out or whatever, it doesn't really matter. Folks are going to do what they want to do. So I figure if that's the way it is, I'm going to do what I'm going to do too. I want to serve the Lord. I want to love Him. I want to do everything I can to be able to bolster the kingdom of God. Amen. Let's read together. Revelation 22, 12. I know we've been reading this for several services, but I think it's a great parallel of what we're dealing with. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. How many would like to be remembered tonight in prayer? I'm not sure if Brother Aaron made the request or not, but Brother Jeff Nunley has had an accident yesterday. His ammonia levels is really, really high, and kind of had a seizure of some sort, run off the road, him and Sister Patty. So he's in the hospital. I'd like for us to remember him tonight as we pray. You have a need and request? Certainly we all do. Let's just bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy to us, Father. I'm grateful, Lord, that you and your great bountiful blessings and all the eternities, that you are not so busy with things which are there in that great sphere and that great realm beyond what our eyes can see and declare, to forget about us mortals in this life down here. Things that might be so trivial and seem so small, even to one another, yet you're concerned about the least of our problems and situations. So we want to bring our needs and our requests, our petitions, desires before you tonight, Father. We do not look at you as being some type of catalog house or something where we go in and just place our order. But Father, you've told us to ask much that we might be able to receive. Then you told us to ask that our joy might be full. So we're doing this at your bidding because you're the one who told us to. And we thank you, Lord, because we believe you hear us when we pray. Father, sometimes you say now, sometimes you say wait a while, and sometimes you say no, that's not my will. But whatever your answer is exactly what we want. Even if we pray wrong, then we pray that you would help us to be able to be changed if we do pray wrong. Father, we pray tonight for the sick and the afflicted. I'm sure the requests have already been known, but yet, Lord, others raise their hands. Brother Jeff Nunley tonight, you see, Father, his need in the hospital. We pray that you would just be with him. Dear God, we ask you to be mindful of us in the service. Now we come. We've heard prayers and we've heard prayer requests. Maybe testimonies have been shared, songs that have been sung. But now we come to what your prophet identifies the most important part of the service, and that is the preaching and the hearing of the word. We know that it's not just one-sided, that a preacher will stand and read the scriptures and try to expound on it. But Father, we know it's so vital and so important that the people also be partakers of that word. That it's not just a preacher doing his part, but they also are hearing and receiving and participating of the word and being benefited by that word. Speak to us tonight, would you, Father? We love you with all of our hearts in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the saint said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Let me go straight into question and answers tonight. And let me show you just a little bit of a parallel of something that we'd like to look at in contrasting the tree of life in heaven and the tree of life that is already blooming in the hearts of the saints now. Also that hell is vomiting herself out. She is spreading her influence as heaven is also spreading its influence. I want you to listen carefully to this. I never read this quote to what my mind goes back many, many years ago. And I was in a message church that's many, many thousands of miles away from here, in another country, in another continent around the world. And as I was there, there are two services, and that first night as the Lord moved, and the direction that the Lord led me was certainly in a direction I believe that was needful. But yet the second night, it was so different. The response of the people was so different. The direction that the word went was so different. Yet I felt myself that it was directly sent from the presence of God. And I based what I dealt on from this quote right here. And it always creates sometimes, depending on the needs of the people and the situations in people's lives, but it can create an oddity in the way that people perceive what is being said. So I hope that you'll listen to it tonight and be able to receive from it in the right way. Brother Bram said, here's, I've often said, and I believe that there is in the church here, there is a role here like, in here lives mortal beings. And each one is in this great, listen to this, conglomeration of gaiety, of blackness and darkness. Now, this is during the time frame in 54, 55, whenever he's preaching it several times and he says there's three realms up and three realms down and we are in the middle as mortal beings. Now, here he kind of condenses that truth together and he identifies that blackness and that darkness and calls it gaiety and darkness. And he said, in here lives mortal beings. So there are three realms above us and three realms below us. And here we are in the middle. Now, being in the middle, of course, means we can be influenced by either or. We will be influenced more than likely by both. The predominant force will be by your choice. And each one in this great conglomeration of gaiety, of blackness and darkness, and mortals live in here. Now, they're either influenced from this way, now he's pointing up and down, this way or from that way. You cannot be here a spiritual being, sinner or saint, without having an influence from the underworld, or he said from the above world. Now remember, he does not define them in the three, but here he just calls them the underworld and the above world. But keep in mind that he, as I said, condenses it, but in here he's saying that there's going to be three above and three beneath, and here we are right in the middle. Excuse me. You cannot be your spiritual being, sinner, saint, without having an influence from the underworld or from the above world. If you're influenced from here, you're from... So if you're influenced from here, you're from above. Your celestial body is waiting up here. But if you're wicked and hypocritical and indifferent, your celestial body is down here regardless of how much you think it's up there. Because the fruit that you bear before people, wow, proves where you're from. So you mean what we are here proves actually where we come from. So our destiny actually is tied more to our beginning than we think. Notice now he says, then the fruit that you bear before people proves where you're from. So you are here, what you are somewhere else. Your life that you live here is just reflecting what your inheritance is when you leave here. Now, this is one reason why, friends, that we will never, ever change some people, no matter how hard we try. Now, if their celestial body is from the underworld. Now, we know the soul goes into some sort of body, and there they will be detained, and then they will be punished. But wherever that body is at is an identification of where they will go to when this life is over. So then once we actually become in full identification or the contact of where we are from, then we will, from that stage of our life, begin to reflect our inheritance. Now, many of you know, as well as I know, that even the elect were, as we say, at one time lost without God. They were not in peace. They were not in joy. They were not serving the Lord, but they were not reflecting where they were from either. They were reflecting what they were captured into in a body of time. But their celestial body was not from the underworld, even though in time they were acting like it. But in reality, they had just not come yet to be quickened to where their body was from. Then on the other hand, there are people who act like they're saved. They act like they love God. They act like this and act like that. But eventually in time, if they are only acting, the cycle of their underworld celestial body will kick in full force, and no longer will they be able to act like they're this and that and the other. But full stream, they will start reflecting where they are from. I personally believe the world we're living in, the majority of the population, for the most part, has reached that. Now, this is where that they will enter into and actually, here while they are in time, become souls that are imprisoned now. And they will finally have reached where they're going. But as heaven contacts the heavenly, so hell contacts the hellish. As God by divine nature and divine attributes contacts vessels of mercy, so hell will contact vessels of wrath. Hell will be poured into the vessels of wrath in such a state that they will manifest the attributes of Satan and his demons and hell before they ever walk into the gates of the regions of the lost. They will be so sold out in their souls that they will be souls that are imprisoned now that will never be retrievable, that will never be able to find mercy in the eyes and the heart of God, will never be able to reach a place of full repentance because they have crossed over the line. Now remember, even in that, in the mortal realm of time, God allows people, if they so wish to be redeemed in the sense of church status, they can be, whosoever will. God loved Cain so much that he went after him. The prophet said he loved him. Now, he would have never been an Abel, but he could have been saved had he so desired, but his pride would not allow him to bow in the presence of that holy roller brother of his. Oh, no. Notice then, Brother Bam said, because the fruit that you bear before people proves where you are from. Now that service that I was referring to you that I preached many years ago, I entitled it Reflecting Your Inheritance. Little did I know that years would go by and that same church tonight actually are preaching and believing and saying that their pastor is Elohim. They get up and sing songs that there is power, and then they call the name of their pastor. I only wish they would have listened to what the Lord sent them. But as people generally do, they go on in their way. Well, that wasn't for me, and I don't need that. And you know, we do the word the way we do food. Well, I don't like this, and I don't like that, and I don't want this, and I don't want that. But you see, God will allow us to do that for a while until our destiny becomes so manifest in time that we cross over the line to that point of no return. And when we do that, there is no way back. No way back. Now, what's this? So there are people on the earth today that are reflecting not only where they are going, but where they are from. When Judas Iscariot was here upon the earth, he was the epitome of what we see here under this, that he was a man that was actually not just a drunk, a liar, a whoremonger, a thief, that type of a man, but he was a man that we know, you know, according to his history and his background, that he was a man that had a religious background, a man that was very well thought of, a man that was looked up to by many of the different groups of that day. But the Lord Jesus actually picked him to be able to follow along the message for a while. Right. But yet Judas, even though he was a partaker of a God-given ministry, though Judas was given an understanding of the word by his intellect, though Judas was not given a ministry inferior or smaller than the rest of the brothers, he was not given a dry gift without the anointing, but he was given a gift, and also he was an anointed speaker. As a matter of fact, some of us, if we'd have heard Judas, would have probably thought he's a better speaker than John or Peter, because a lot of times false prophets are better speakers than real ones are. That's right. I heard some women preachers in Pentecost that could outpreach a bunch of the men in this message to this very day. That don't mean that's called of God, but know how that works. But yet we know then that that destiny of Judas, as the Lord Jesus said, have not I chosen 12 of you, and one of you is not going to become. Not after a while, but one of you is a devil now. So he was already that. So he was the son of perdition. He came from hell and he went back to hell. So his destiny was made manifest in time. Is that right? Now, notice then we're reading this in the contrast of Revelation 22 and how that there will be those who will be residents inside the city and the great benefits of the blessing of God, the tree of life blooming in every yard and the river of life and the tree of life and all the blessed things that are there. So if there are people going to that place, then will not heaven begin to permeate the lives of human beings that are germatized to that place? Will not heaven begin to live itself out of them before they ever get there if hell is doing likewise on the other hand? This is why that our earth is getting worse and worse and worse. It's worse now than it's ever been. America would have never dreamed by turning down revival in 1956. She would have never dreamed by turning down God's prophet she would ever be where she is today. And she's going to get worse. She's getting worse every day, every week. Our politics is a mess. Our religion is a mess. Our school system is a mess. Our monetary system is a mess. We're in a mess. We are beyond repair as far as man fixing it. It'll never be fixed by man. Only God can fix it. Now, why is this? It's because the lives of the American people, not only the Americans, but the Europeans and the Africans and all around the world, the lives of the people people are becoming turned over and submitted to the influence by which they are actually from. And it's into the cycle, I believe, to where it's irreversible. It can no longer be turned, no matter who it was. So we might have a revival in this assembly and a revival there, and maybe a place break out here and there, and revival. But as far as the world, there will never be another world-shaking move. There'll never be another great shaking move in the Baptist, Methodist, Church of God. Come on now. I honestly don't think there'll ever be a great world shaking in the message anymore. I believe there'll be individuals, or there can be churches and so on, basically depending on what we want and how we want to approach God about it. But I believe that the cycle is so close that the stage of the wheat and of the tares are right down to where they're manifesting truly what they are. Now we know Jesus gave that parable, and he said that the kingdom of heaven was likened to that, and he called it wheat and tares, and you know the tares was actually a plant called darnel. And darnel, actually, it looks a lot like wheat, and the advanced stages of it is it comes up right up to the very end when the darnel goes under the ground and the darnel wraps itself around the wheat. And this is why Jesus said, don't pull them up, leave them alone, let them grow together. Because the darnel actually under the ground, it goes under the ground and wraps its roots around the roots of the wheat. So then if you reach down to try to pull that darnel up, you will actually destabilize and pull the wheat right up with it. It's that close. So Jesus said, let them both grow together. Now the darnel comes up in every stage, almost identical to the wheat, except when the darnel reaches the final stage, the finale of the growth cycle, then it comes into where it looks almost like a wheat. But actually, if you take that from there, and people have done it before, not recognizing the difference, they would actually take that and eat it. But when you do eat it, it can bring on hallucinations. It can bring on blindness. It can bring on blindness, Laodicea, you know what I'm saying. It can actually, if you eat enough of it, it can actually kill you. But yet looks so much like the wheat itself that it would deceive the very elected if possible, but it is a cycle. So what does the darnel do? Doing exactly the same thing the wheat is doing. So the final stage only produced the birth stage. You follow me? So the final stage of the darnel produced that the darnel was actually darnel whenever it was planted in the ground. So the same was the wheat. So the wheat wasn't planted to gravel, and then all of a sudden this gravel germinated, and wow, it transformed to a gravel, and then a rock, and then a pumpkin, and then a cantaloupe, and wound up being a wheat. No, it was a wheat then, it was a wheat in every stage as it came out. So was... excuse me, the darnel, but the natural eye could not differentiate between the two. So Jesus said, let them both grow together, and then at the end time I'll send the angel messengers, and they will divide it and they will bring it in. So there's coming angels to be able to divide and separate the wheat from the tares. Praise the Lord. So then they are gathered where? They are gathered back to the origin or the place by which each would go. Well, you don't gather darnel in order to be able to eat it again. Who wants pancakes out of darnel? Who wants bread out of darnel? Who wants pasta? Who wants anything? Anybody that knows what darnel is does not. Even though it may look like it and it may smell similar and the growth patterns are very similar, comes up on the three stages and then comes to the head stage. But the end result is it will make you blind, and enough of it will cause death and send you in the tribulation period. But each of them are only manifesting what they were from their birth. Now the darnel could not help from being a darnel. Was that in the original creation? So was the wheat in the original creation. But through the cycle coming up through the same with the church ages, as it come up, and the wheat and the darnel was in every church age. The wheat and the darnel was in Luther's day, Wesley's day, Pentecost day. Let me go ahead and say it. We've got wheat and darnel in the message as well. I know they don't want to say it, but it's a truth anyhow. But yet each of those will reflect where they come from. So who planted them? The devil did. That's right. But the Lord Jesus was the one who planted the seed. But notice then, when you look at that, what it's doing, it's only reflecting where they come from. So the darnel came out from him who come in the darkness of night, as the prophet seen him going over the curvature of the earth, and he reached down inside of his bag and he was throwing the darnel out among the good seed. And while men slept, the enemy came and sowed the tares. Amen. Now he said, the tares are the children of the wicked one. They're not children of God. So they were that before they ever got out of the bag into the dirt. And the good seed are the children of the kingdom. And they were that before they ever got out of the bag into the dirt as well. So they were what they were before they ever hit the earth. Amen. But in the earth giving them the warmth, the moisture, the rays of the sun and so on, the earth will bring forth out of each of them what they really are. You see, all of us mortals need time in order to prove. Now, we've all heard people say, oh, I love God with all of my heart. I'll tell you one thing. Boy, if there ain't nobody at the church, it's going to be me. If there ain't nobody left, it's going to be me and Brother Donnie. That's the bottom line. I mean, there ain't nobody moving me. And yet the first thing comes along, they're gone. They're sticking around for a year, two or six or eight or ten. But you know, really, what the only thing they can be in reality is what that seed was from the very beginning or its birth, right? Now, then when we look at it this way, it brings into view what the Lord Jesus would set forth in this parable, which parallels exactly what Brother Ram said, because the fruit here is only manifesting what they are. So each of us are going to prove what we are. It's not just our words. Words are cheap. And people can say all kinds of things, especially in the day we live in. Now, a lot of people's words don't mean nothing. They say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. They don't have a bit more attention in doing it than the man in the moon. You might as well say, I'm going to turn into a chocolate chip cookie, because it's just as serious as I'll do this and I'll do that and the other. People's words don't mean nothing. But if you're a Christian, they do. Christians don't believe in lying. Y'all going to preach with me tonight? Now notice those cities, he goes on and he says, because the fruit that you bear before people proves where you're from. So you are here what you are somewhere else. Your life that you live here is just reflecting what your inheritance is when you leave here. So if we see streets of gold, we see walls of jasper, we see the tree of life, then there must be a people that have been quickened to a heavenly atmosphere that will be fitted to such a city. Now to me, when I think of heaven, I have a hard time, just to be honest, relating with streets of gold and, you know, the beauty and the splendor and all that. I mean, to me, it don't take that to make heaven. It don't take gates of pearl and amethyst and all them blessed things. But yet the Lord somehow, he wanted to decorate it with such stuff, and I'm fine with that. Okay, I'm fine. I would have been fine with sheetrock and white paint on the walls. But yet the Lord did not want that. He wanted something entirely different. So once I get there, then it'll make more sense to me. But I do have a hard time relating. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I just have a hard time relating to me walking on gold. You think, really? I'm walking on gold? And you're living in this place that is just illustrious and so beautiful and the splendor overwhelming. But to me, what sticks out about heaven will be the type of people that will be there and the type of eternal existence and all the things that will not be there. That there won't be sickness, heartache, and sorrow, and pain, and so on and so on. But it's not just the knots that won't be there, but it's the things that will be there that I believe that are a parallel to the type of life that people will come in such close communion, especially in the last day. Since we're not down here at the bottom of the pyramid, but we're at the honing age when it's coming right up to the top, when there must be the same kind of ministry on the earth that will bring that Omega bride right back to the same place as there was in the Alpha bride. There's got to be the same type of ministry on the earth at the end time that there was when it started in Acts chapter 2. Amen. That's why we still believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, let's jump from this one now over to the adoption. Brother Bim says, God by his election grace called you. God by his election grace sanctified you. Amen. God by his election grace and his power baptized you and put you into this land of rest. Now notice then, so what you are here is reflecting what you are somewhere else. So God, by election grace, from your home, election grace was projected down through Jesus Christ, and God then from your home called you unto himself. Then God from your home also sanctified you. God from your home filled you, amen, with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and baptized you into what? This land of rest. So now we are in our land now by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is the message of the hour. This is why the devil ain't getting our land. Come on, let folks leave the message. Let them do whatever they want to do. Well, they might not have had no inheritance there anyhow, but I do. I have an inheritance in this land, and the devil ain't getting it, and the devil ain't stealing it from me by the grace of God, because I have been baptized into this land of rest. Now, this land of rest is only a mirror image of the land which is beyond the river. So if I'm going to have the tree of life in my yard, then I should have a down payment of the tree of life in my yard, my life now. If I'm going to have eternal life then I should have at least a token, a display, or a portion, amen, of that eternal life in me now, testifying to that eternal life over there, because I am here while I am somewhere else. You follow me? Now what's then? God by his election grace called you. God by his election grace sanctified you. God by his election grace, his power, baptized you and put you in the land of rest. So what was it you done? Nothing. Now, Brother Terry, don't you say that. Notice this. They which have entered into this rest have ceased from their going astray. They cease from their works like God did from his. So when God finished speaking everything into creation and in the beginning, God has not made another earth since then. Why? Because God ceased from his universal works of creation. God ceased from his planetary creation. God ceased from the star creation, so on and so on, because his works were done. And then the scripture tells us that as God ceased from his works, so those of us that are baptized into the land, we have ceased from our works, or our failure in our works, which caused us to go astray. You see, those who actually come into that spot and they're baptized into their land now, mirroring that land over there, it is totally impossible for them to ever backslide away from that seal of the Holy Ghost. Oh, if I could quit this, if I could quit that, get in Christ Jesus, it will empower you to quit what you can't quit. There's stuff we can't quit doing, there's stuff we cannot start doing, and that's why we need him to help us to know what to start and what to stop and what to cease from. Notice they cease from their works like God did from his. They have sadness and sorrow, and they're under such depression they can barely be able to. They have joy unspeakable and full of glory. The tree of life is blooming in them. Sounds like folks has been in touch with heaven to me. So you mean they're not just waiting till they get on the other side to be able to embrace eternal life and the tree of life? Remember, the tree of life is a person. That person is the Lord Jesus. So actually, by the new birth, we have been reinstated to a place further in Christ than Adam was when he fell. I know that staggers some of you folks when I say that. But those of you that's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight, you are already deeper in Christ Jesus than Adam was in the Garden of Eden. What Adam had in the Garden of Eden, he fell from. If you're sealed by the Holy Ghost tonight, you'll never fall from it. It's totally impossible. Oh my, the tree of life. Listen to this. They have long suffering, gentle, goodness, patience, faith, Apparently you need faith, meekness, gentleness, and so forth. The tree of life is blooming in them because their hope is anchored in Christ Jesus. Now, wait a minute. Doesn't that sound like to you that that's a touch of what we're going to have from the other side? So they have long suffering, they are gentle, goodness, patience, faith, meekness, gentleness. So on the other side, there'll be nobody grouchy, be nobody contrary, be nobody in a bad mood, nobody running their tongue, nobody flopping their jaws. That's right. So if we get in touch with that life here on the earth and we start reflecting our inheritance, that's one thing to have it. But it's another thing whenever the power of God in us starts growing and we start allowing it to live out. Let this man be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So the Lord gives us that potentially in seed form. But then we must allow by the power of surrender, by the power of surrender given to us as mortals, as we allow that to come out of us, it starts looking more like heaven and less like the earth. In other words, you start acting and looking more like Jesus and less like a Gissendaner. Or less like a Reagan, less like a Horn. Come on now. Well, praise God. Now, notice he said the tree of life is blooming in them because their hope is anchored in Christ Jesus. The witness of the Holy Ghost bearing record with signs and wonders. Oh my goodness, sound like a Pentecostal bunch. Following the believers, these signs shall follow them that believe. As they go along, they heal the sick. They cast out devils. They speak with tongues. They see visions, they walk with God, they talk with God. Sounds like an Enoch group to me. No devil can move them. They're steadfast, looking for eternal life, forgetting those things that are in the past. They press toward the mark, amen, of the high calling in Christ Jesus. There they are. There you are. That's the church. Now remember, Satan ate away from that alpha bride. He started taking their joy, started taking their power, their peace, of the things that God gave them in that original tree. Within 50 years, in less than 50 years, it had already changed. Jude began to write to them and said, "Brethren, I want to remind you of the faith that was once delivered to the saints," which was written in 65, 66 AD, something like that. So about 31, 32 years, 33 years, they had already got away from that original impact of Acts 2. And yet you think of it, friends, that the Spirit of God was indwelling in that alpha bride. But as if we're not careful, the same thing will happen to us. That the original fathers will get that Holy Ghost experience. And they'll begin to emphasize it. Then if they're not careful, their children will be raised up under that atmosphere. And they begin to accept the ideology of the doctrine and the, you know, oh my, the creeds and whatever more. Well, I believe it. Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. But they don't have the same experience. And before you know it, they start compromising a little bit. Now, come on, don't get quiet on me already. And Satan knows this about human nature. So we begin to eat on all of these things. Now we've done looked at a few of them, but let's go to another one tonight. By the help of the Lord and the restoration of the bright tree, he said, then the next fruit on the tree is peace. Now I know we're fixing to enter into a time in a few weeks when this word will be seen in a lot of the stores and on Christmas cards. I'm glad my peace lasts longer than one day out of the year. Don't misunderstand me. I ain't got a bit more peace on December the 25th than I've got any other day out of the year. Because my Jesus wasn't born December the 25th, nohow. Now, sure, we ought to thank God for him coming to earth. Absolutely. But yet, peace on earth, baloney. We got more havoc. We got more trouble right on the very brink of war, breaking out in every way. People ain't got more peace. And the matter of the fact, a lot of the so-called Christians don't have more peace. They're fighting at work. They're fighting at home. They're fighting on their job. They're fighting in politics. Well, praise the Lord. Notice he said, then the next fruit on the tree is peace. Peace of mind. Now notice what this peace is. Knowing that you're saved. They tell you, well, now if you recite our creed, you're saved. If you join my church, you're saved. Well, now, this one says you're not saved. If you go there, you have to join our church to be saved. Now, you know what's so sad about it is? Now, when Brother Branham preached this in 1962, the message groups wasn't divided that way, but they are now. So now, if you're brides, you got to play tapes only. So they write their own songs, and they sing about tape water. Oh yeah, they got their own cliches, and the only ones bride is the ones who go along with what they believe. Well, our pastor believes this, and we know who the bride is. It's all of those who click on our website. I'll tell you who the bride is those that God foreknown before the foundation of the world. Whether they go to your website or not, that ain't got nothing to do with it. That's God's choice. We don't put them in, and we cannot put them out. Thank God for that. But it's the same spirit now as God in our own ranks. Well, where do you stand on that? Well, I don't believe it. Well, I won't have no fellowship with you no more then. I'll tell you one thing. Bless God. Go on, you old serpent seed. And is that the spirit this message was delivered in? Come on, Happy Valley. Notice this. He says, you're not saved if you go there. You have to join our church to be saved. You have to say, hail, Brother Branham. Well, they've moved it beyond Mary now. Now you've got to, you know, your Brother Branham this and Brother Branham that. You've got to make God out of Brother Branham. I'll never do that. That is a lie. I said that is a lie. Brother Branham was a man. Oh, I thank God for his life and what he done for us as a servant of God. But his blood cannot save us. His name we cannot baptize in. We cannot cast out devils in his name. That's right. Notice, oh my, that will take all the joy out. That's not God's tree. You know where you're at. That's a hybrid. I always, you know my story about the mule. He's a hybrid. He don't know who his papa, mama, either one was. He's a hybrid. But oh, good pedigreed horse, he knows who his papa and mama was through generations. And a real good pedigreed Christian too, that's got the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Notice now about a pedigreed Christian. He knew it fell on the day of Pentecost. He can trace his origination right back there to Acts 2. So if you don't like Acts 2, tells me you're a mule. Well, praise the Lord. Now, you might take a beautiful mare. She might be a thoroughbred. She might be a quarter horse. She might be an Arabian. She might be this or that or the other. And you put her in the stall with a little old jack, and you know what's going to happen whenever they get together. And out of there will come this message mule. I mean this mule. And it'll have them big old long flopping ears. And I'll tell you one thing. I don't believe in that Holy Ghost stuff. I believe God sent a prophet. That's all I need. You'll go to hell with that ideology. There's only one way to become born again, and that's the old man's got to die, and you got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Any other way than that is a counterfeit hybrid. We don't believe in shouting in our church. The Bible said, be still and know that I'm God. And the same Bible said, shout with the voice of triumph. The same Bible said, make a loud noise to the Lord. And a joyful noise. So it shows me there's a time to be still and a time to be loud. It's evident most of those that quote the still scripture use it in the wrong place. Well, praise God. But what is it? It's an old mule. Well, Brother Donnie's background is Pentecost. It sure is. Original Acts 2. That's my background. That's my pedigree. Drag my papers out. You won't take me back to Azusa Street. I go further back than Azusa. I go further back than Wittenberg, Germany. I go further back than London, England. I go plumb back to the mind of God before the foundation of the world. And when the Lord gave birth to a church on the earth, that's my pedigree, beginning of the Holy Ghost coming in human beings. And no, I don't apologize for it. A real good pedigreed Christian too that's got the Holy Ghost. Of course, that's a lot of the problem. A lot of our folks ain't got it. He knoweth fell on the day of Pentecost. He knows where he's at. He can trace his generations, plumb back his genealogies to the first beginning. Peter had it. On down through the nation, the races, they've had it on down. A good pedigreed Christian know where he comes from. Well, if I know where I come from, then my destiny is secure. You see, that's much of our problem. We are still thinking through Arminianism. We're still thinking through our traditional concepts that our destiny is left up to us. That somehow you're here and you are going to determine your own destiny and you will manifest your destiny and it is based entirely upon you. I feel sorry for you because you'll never leave this world in a rapture. Because that was believed through the church ages and it didn't rapture nobody. Enoch never believed his destiny was in his own hands. He felt like he was called of God to walk with God, walk like God, talk like God, finally move up to God's house. He didn't believe it was anything that he could do on his own, but he felt like God had called him, and it was his destiny because it was his beginning. Oh, but you see a good old Baptist that just comes to the message and still maintains his separate free will fundamental Baptist ideas. He's still just an old sinner saved by grace. He made up his mind he was going to get saved. Oh my, she made up her mind she was going to do this and that and the other. And boy, come hell or high water, I'll stand right there. Glory to God. But if you by revelation can look and see my destiny is secured, I'm only returning back to where I come from. My destiny comes by my origination. It's not that my origination, I just happen to be down here on time the earth in some time and then somehow it's eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Which one do I go? Well, my Sunday school teacher sounded like you had a Sunday school teacher that went, oh, oh. We need to clean the Sunday school teachers out that teach such nonsense and tommy rot. And the preachers out of the pulpit. Well, hallelujah. But you see, a real good pedigreed Christian knows that God started this church out the way he wanted it. He wanted it full of preachers. And they wasn't just reading what Paul said. They was preaching it. That's full of the Holy Ghost. The young people was getting the Holy Ghost. The old people was getting the Holy Ghost. The rich, the poor, the indifferent, the pauper. And they all acted the same way, like drunk people. Amen. But then, of course, some polished up, educated mule religionist said, we don't need that no more. Maybe you don't, but we do. I can't live this word without his life. And I'm going to tell you a secret. Neither can you. Oh, but you see, a lot of these folks want you to tie your faith up to Ohio, to the teacher. Or they want you to tie it up to Jeffersonville, to the Pope. Or some preacher in Texas, or some preacher in Louisiana. You better go farther back than Louisiana. It's good that you can say, well, praise God, I drove a stake down at the youth camp. That's good. Stakes drove down at youth camp. Stakes drove down at Happy Valley. That's good. But don't chase your origination to Happy Valley. Don't chase your origination back to youth camp. You better find your pedigree goes a whole lot further back than Louisiana youth camp. You better find out it goes a whole lot further back. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Glory to God. When Brother Donnie come here 30 years ago, boy, I traced my beginning. You better go further back than 30 years ago. You better go back to your mama, your daddy, your grandpa, your great-grandpa. You better go back to John. You better go back to Peter. You better go back to Abraham, and you better wind up at the feet of God. So what's Satan do? He's got all these mules gathered together. So they all just come to church. Of course, they don't do that in church. They do that on the parking lot. They get to church, they And the sad thing about it is, they have no peace in their soul. Can I go a bit farther? Notice Isaiah 26:3. I absolutely love the scripture. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Amen. Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now, friend, you know as well as I know the mind of human beings is too active, too roaming, too here and there to ever be settled to this place without something divinely happening to us. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed or anchored or built or set solid upon whose mind. You see, there's something about the laws of man's mind. That what he really loves from the nature of his soul, that he pulls in the directive of the laws of his mind, and wherever he gets his satisfaction from in the flesh and on the outside, that he will begin to direct the laws of his mind, and his mind will conform his behavior to those things that he's really drawing from. So then those people of the world who feed on the world, that's why they drink tonight, they got to drink tomorrow, they got to drink the next day, they got to smoke, they got to commit adultery, they got to do this, that, the other. Why? Because they're trying to satisfy and structure their mind, their happiness, their satisfaction on things out here that are doing this. So they fluctuate, they change. Then the laws of their mind is established upon the world, which is built upon a waves of this and that and the other. And it comes and it goes. And they have such happiness. Oh my. Oh, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. Until their hit runs out. Or their beer is gone, their wine's gone, their fling is over, you know, whatever it is. And then the laws of their mind, which they built around that temporary thing, is now suspended, and they don't know what to do. Why? Because this is where they're trying to anchor. Then you have religionists, which offer them religion, mule religion. You see, there's only one way we can have this peace. Perfect peace. If our mind. Notice, the scripture doesn't say our soul. Now you see, your soul is a very, very important part. We know that. But some people so focus on the soul and they let their mind just run like a pig lot. They have all kinds of trash in their mind and all kinds of garbage in their mind. Oh, Brother Matt, where are you? Can't you hear Happy Valley? They're singing, oh, Brother Matt. You see, the peace which God imparts into that soul of one which is born of him, then it reflects itself through the individual's behavior into their mind. The reason it can be perfect is because it comes from a perfect source. So those who are satisfied only for a while and joys in the pleasures of sin, then it's designed that way by Satan to where it will bring a temporary joy, a temporary satisfaction, a temporary happiness, a temporary peace, but it only lasts for a while to get us hooked. Then the next time we need more and more and more and more and more. But perfect peace, oh, hallelujah. You see, the God who made this peace, the kind of peace that's going to be there in heaven, wants a deposit in the lives of his born children. Now I know you're going to look at me funny and somebody's going to think, boy, I just can't hardly believe this. But I believe God wants us to have a touch now of perfect, sublime peace. This scripture don't apply in the millennium. It don't apply in the rapture. I believe it applies in time. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Now you see, the unsatisfying world, by the derivatives of the peace and joy and pleasure that they come and they wrap the people's minds around it. Now they've got to think about it. They've got to think about drinking. They've got to think about smoking. They've got to think about, even if they go in the way of religion, they have to think in that way in order to program themselves, as it were, especially if they're doing it and hiding it. There's a lot of plans that goes into sinning. It's a lot harder when you think about it than it is actually just trying to live right. You got to be a hypocrite. You got to be dishonest to yourself. You got to be dishonest to mama. You got to be dishonest to daddy. You got to be dishonest to the deacons. Got to be dishonest to God, to all the angels, all the things that goes on. And it requires a whole lot more work. People say it's just too hard to live right. Myself, now I've been a Christian for many, many years, and I've dealt with lots of folks that give me the excuse it was just too hard to live right. And I'm looking at myself, and I'm looking at them, Brother Mark, and I'm thinking, really, I don't find near the struggle that you find. I don't find you're just struggling and you're beating yourself to death and you've done all of this and that and the other and you still ain't happy. And here I am just as happy as a loon. I'm just as happy as if I had good sense. Poor Brother Donnie, he's such a simpleton. I am. You ever seen a simpleton be raptured? You're fixing to. I got peace. I don't get it once every now and then. I have permanent peace as a deposit in my soul. Then my mind being stayed on the Lord. So in the time of trouble, is there peace? Yes. If I can get my thoughts away from the temporary things that are trying to suspend me from my peace. You see, the Lord, oh hallelujah, the Lord God wants peace to be like a river. Remember the song, peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. God wants peace to be like this river which cannot be dammed. That whenever doctors say certain things and they try to dam up the peace in your life, no, that river's so powerful it just blasts the dam away. Amen. When sickness comes, when trouble comes, God wants the peace just to be there gushing out like a mighty river. Amen. Instead of like this. Peace, please. Oh, shoot. Oh, please, fall off my finger. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. But God wants it to be so flowing out of your heart. In the midst of trouble, in the midst of storms, in the midst of heartaches. Okay, now here we go to the stop where everybody wants to be quiet. Here we go to the place where everybody just wants to sit and look at me like I'm a Martian. And like I don't understand nothing about what's going on in the world. Well, you're probably right. I don't understand a lot of everything, but I do understand a little bit. I do understand a little bit of what's going on in this world. But that don't change my view of what God's Word says. If God's word cannot be true in that, how do I know I can trust him for a resurrection? If he cannot provide peace for me, it's just the simplest of basic thing to I need as a child of God to be able to live. How can I trust him with my soul? You see, because it's coming from an eternal resource. Listen to this, what Isaiah, the same prophet said, Isaiah 48:22. There is, read it. No peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. I don't care what they say. This is what he said. They don't have this kind of peace. Isaiah 53:5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He was chastised so you could have peace with God. And peace with one another. And peace with yourself. Isaiah 57:19. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace. Peace. To him that is far off. To him that is near. Saith the Lord. And I will heal him. St. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace. Amen. Yeah. I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Chapter 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Well, you say, what in the world has that got to do with me? Everything. The same life in him, overcome it, comes back and lives in you. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Let me get in you and I'll overcome the world in you. Notice this, Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Friends, do you understand what where we were when we were lost, as we say? We were at war with God, and God was with war between us. This is where the world is. This is where every sinner is. They have declared war against God. I don't want your way. I don't want you telling me what to do. Shut up. Now be honest and be realistic. How can anybody win a war against God? You want to declare war against me? Look, it wouldn't take much to beat a little puny fellow like me. But you're going to declare war against the eternal? You understand where America is? She declared war. The Supreme Court declared war against God's law of taking life and abortion in 1973. They've been an absolute mess and a downward spin, my friends. Why? They've declared war against God. Let me go a little farther. The denominations have declared war against God. Let me go ahead and bring it on down. A lot of the message folks have declared war against God too. You're going to lose. Don't declare war against him, but let's find the medium or the channel by which we can make peace between us and God. Think of it. We were at war. We were at war. And God said, fine. You want war? And it's war. I'll give you. While we were sinners, we were at enmity. War. We was under the sense of guilt, terror, sin, shame, debauchery, and filth. And like pigs, we loved it. We was wallowing around in the mire. Come on, Happy Valley, say amen. But God said to my children, I want to make peace with you. We didn't want peace. We wanted to fight God. Leave me alone. Get up. Leave me alone. We even come to church and God pulled on our heart. We fought God in church. Leave me alone. Quit convicting me. Quit. I don't want that. Thank God our origination overrode where we were in order to harmonize our destiny with his thinking. Notice Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, talking about the Jews and the Gentiles, also between us and God, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, both Jew and Gentile, one new man, so making peace. So God the Spirit, the Eternal, created a white flag called sonship. God let that white flag fall down to the earth. They hated him. They despised him. They rejected him. But through his death on the cross, God let that flag bring peace between Father and all of those whose names was in the Lamb's book. And that peace was so powerful that he overflowed the Lamb's book and flowed over into the book of life and said, whosoever will out there that's not even of my genos, if you want to be saved, I'll let you have some of this peace. If you want to be redeemed, you don't have to go to hell. If you don't want to be lost, you don't have to go to hell. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. Oh, hallelujah. Then what did God do? God created the only thing that could be done. God was the Spirit. He couldn't bleed. God was the Spirit. You can't drive a Spirit's hands to a cross. But God created a white flag.
Amen.
Amen. And put it up on the pole. And that sun became a serpent, a snake. That you come up and look at that and say, I accept your purity. Make me clean. Apply yourself to my soul. Apply yourself to my mind, to my mouth, to my ears, to my hands, to my feet. Apply yourself. Came and preached peace to you, which were afar off unto them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Colossians 1:20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Glory to God. Don't you understand the condemnation you felt when you were a sinner? That was God in your conscience saying the war is still on. God saying to your conscience, I condemn you. You're lost. You're a sinner. Now we know even after getting saved, if we do wrong, we still feel bad about it. Come on. But the war has been settled. Let's stand. Mercy and truth, justice and judgment have met and embraced and kissed each other. So God making himself a white flag of surrender. You know what's sad to me is there are so many Christians in the world today that never really have experienced that depths of peace because they've not yet fully surrendered their will. Now the war of sin, in the sense of them wanting to be out there and do what they did before, for many, no, they don't want to do that. But it's still just afraid to let go. They've got to hold on to a little bit. It's like those of you who fly in an airplane and you're afraid. And we won't raise no hands of those who are and those who aren't. But you're going at 37,000 feet. Oh my, he's thinking, wow, this is so great. And all of a sudden, you're turned upside down, inside out. The fastened seatbelt light comes on, and the captain says, ladies and gentlemen, we're experiencing turbulence. Would you please be seated? And you have the window seat, you're looking out the window, and you see absolutely nothing but blue skies. You've never flown a plane in your life, but you have embedded your fingerprints on those seats behind you. In reality, many of you have thought, I need to go up there and fly this thing myself. There's something about it. We want to help out. That's why we have passenger seat drivers, back seat drivers, third row seat drivers. None of your brothers don't have to say a thing. I understand. It's your brain. What? You say, oh, Lord. That's the way we are with God. If you only understood the way he wants you to be. He's got this great big limo sitting outside. He's got the door open. Be seated. But most of us say, now, God, I'm a take charge kind of a guy. If you don't mind, I'll ride up in front with you. Just in case you pass out or something. My life would really be at risk if I'm 12 feet from you at the back. Come on now, children. Don't sit there and look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. One of the greatest experiences of peace myself that I've ever had is when I come to a spot I don't know what to do. The mountain I'm looking at is so big I can't get over it. It's so wide, I seem I can't get around it. And I just commit it to him, basically, and close my eyes and pray. And surrender. Remember the Randy? A peace. A peace. Just overwhelms you. And you say, oh, praise God. It's gone, it's gone, it's gone. And you open your eyes. And the mountain is still there. There's not a road through it. There's not a bridge through it. But really there don't need to be. Because now you've got a peace. That somehow he's going to help you through this. Call me foolish if you wish. Call me whatever you like. Our world is in a terrible shape. I believe myself it's going to get worse. We've been saying it for years. We're experiencing the worst. We're experiencing what we've been saying for years. I believe it'll get worse than it is. Till we'll cry day and night, come Lord Jesus. Come Lord Jesus. If the original church had this kind of peace, I believe the ending church We need this kind of peace. That He'll help us through no matter what we're going through. How many wants that kind of peace in your heart? Let's bow our heads if you would. You see, the surrender of self-will is such a peace. Obedience brings peace. Resignation, resigning your will, brings peace. So many of these things which absolutely, absolutely lay only in us being able to do it. God will not make you. He does not want to have to beat you, whip you, thrash you. He wants you to be willing just to simply submit. Then when you do, trust is peace. Trust. You just trust Him. The mountain's still there, the battle's still there, the problem, the feeling. Maybe it's a besetting sin and just committing that to God, and you're still feeling the pull to do whatever it is that's wrong. But you have a peace to know He's going to help you put that under your feet. Praise God. And we'd like to be remembered tonight before the Lord. God bless you. Can we just bow our heads? Oh, Jesus. We have our heads bowed now. Let's also, as it were, our hearts in tokens of humility. Lord, be able to look at us tonight, Father. Search us. Begin with me, Lord Jesus. See if there's anything about me that displeases You. Help me, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Your prophet taught us a very simple, basic truth. Whenever he would go through things and he didn't know what to do, which way to look, which way to turn, said he seemed like he turned every stone in his life. He would stand still and be certain of God, to know that God is going to move. Then it releases a peace. But it's so hard for us humans to do, Lord, just to let go. It's just hard for us. It's built in our natural reflexes, even in our muscles and in our minds. The self-defense mode that we kick into. And it's built in our weakness as far as spirituality to retain an element of ourself and not give it all to You. Help us, Lord Jesus. I long to experience peace in a way I've never known it before, Lord. Praise God. Lord Jesus, that when trouble comes, that we don't fall apart. Lord, when the doctor gives us a bad report, that we don't just lose sight of all the previous and former victories. But we go get alone and we get in the prayer closet, whatever more. We come out. Wife says, you feel better. Husband, you feel better. Children, you feel better. Dad, you feel better. Mom, well, the report's still there. The pain's still there. But I believe God. Amen. I believe God. Help us, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Father. Can we just raise our hands in the presence of God? Oh, my friends, how God wants us to have this kind of peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. So if in difficulty arises, our minds will run this way and that way and that way, and we get tore all to pieces and we go to thinking the worst. You know how we are as humans. We think the worst. If something shows up on an x-ray and, oh God, it's cancer. Oh God, it's TB. It's awful. It's terrible. It's absolutely awful. I know it is. I just know it is. We need to let go. Let that peace be able to dominate. Well, what if it is? The prophet said, even if you had it, if you didn't fear it, it couldn't bother you. Oh Lord. Thank You, Jesus. How many wants more peace tonight? Aren't you glad you've made peace between you and God as far as the war part? Let me settle that. The war's over. Oh, you're not fighting against God anymore. You know, as far as the sin question, that's settled. Praise God. But now your war is the war of surrender. The war of surrender. Being able to let go. Oh, but Brother Donnie, when would this happen? Just once? Every day of your life, pretty much. Every hour of your life, every week of your life, you learn more and more and more. The more that I surrender, the more He's able to take over and control. Brother Caleb, let's run over a few. I was going to save this one in the morning, but I think we need to read it right now. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Look at the meaning of this word rule. To be an umpire. To decide, determine, direct, control. But look at this powerful word now that Paul uses, the second word in this verse, let. It's not something that God will do over your will. We must allow Him. Now, I don't know too much about ball games. Y'all know that, but I do know enough about an umpire to know, or umpire rather, that whenever a ball comes across the center, he says, that was a strike, that was a strike. If the umpire said it was a ball, it was a ball. But I don't care what he said. Can you imagine the peace of God being the umpire of your life, and the devil says, you're struck out. The umpire says, walk to first base. And the devil's pitchers and the devil's catchers and left field and right field and every other part of the field, that ain't fair. Well, that ain't my umpire said, walk to first base. I'm walking. I'm walking because the umpire told me to do it. Let the peace of God call the shots. In your life, it shows sometimes we will read them wrong. We will look at ourselves, Brother Jimmy fella, I've struck out, I'm out of the game of life, I'm out of the game of Christianity, there's no hope for me. And the umpire says, walk. And you're saying, me? Yes, you, with number 3 on your shirt, you. But I saw that. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. That means thankful for the umpire. Praise God. Praise God. Well, you know how this works. You're going to hear this again in the morning. But this is too good not to let them folks that make it in the morning not hear it. So you'll have to hear it twice. Can we pray for each other? Can we just lay our hands over on one another if you would? Maybe your life is such a mess tonight. You're so confused in where you are, where you've been, where you're going. Oh, let the umpire, let the peace of God whisper, child, I love you. But I've struck out so many times. I've made so many mistakes. I've done horrible. Yes, you have. But walk to the first base called justification. There's one thing about this umpire, a natural umpire in a softball game or a baseball game, he might just let you walk to first base. But this umpire will let you go from justification to sanctification to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then he'll move you all the way to home plate. Why? Home plate is where you started. Home is where you started. You're on your journey around the bases of time, as it were. Oh, praise God. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for this unction that we feel among us right now, Lord. Lord, I was so blessed and shared it with Carol the other day, and she and I both just sat at the table just so blessed by the scripture and the meaning of this word. Now, Lord, I feel that same anointing of the Holy Ghost here, Father, as it blesses the hearts of your children tonight, Lord. You didn't want feelings to be an umpire. You did not want even our track record to be an umpire. But you wanted peace. Peace. Let the peace of God be the umpire of our lives. Oh, Jesus, forgive me for not allowing you to umpire my life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many nights have I laid there sleepless because of trying to umpire my situations? Change this and change that in the lives of individuals that I couldn't in the first place. Help me, Lord. Help every man, woman, boy, and girl that's visible, and those that have heard this service and will hear it. May the peace of God be the umpire of our hearts. Praise be to God. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I receive it, Lord Jesus. I receive your word tonight, Father. Oh, I know it was not great, deep mysteries, and we'll leave this place tonight. We're scratching our heads trying to understand it. No, it's right where we live, Father. I pray you would let it go into each heart, Lord Jesus. May we more and more every day reflect our destiny, because it is home plate. It's where we left first. Adam was there and struck out for all of us and threw the whole team outfield. I didn't even have a chance to bat. I was born lost, born in the outfield, because the first man swung it all and forfeited the whole thing, and all of us were thrown out of paradise. But praise be to God, you created, amen, you created a white flag of surrender between God and man. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You come down, dear God, and you became our peace. And you have broken down every wall. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Oh, can we just raise our hands, saints, and just for a few minutes, just close your eyes if you will, and don't think about where you're going and all that, and what you're going to do at church. Let's just worship him a little bit. Hallelujah. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. The war between you and God, amen, that sin war, it's over. The Lord Jesus became our peace. Now let him move on in that everyday life. You worry over this bill and fret over that loved one and this and that one and the other. And many times it's only a trick of the enemy to break down your own house. That's all. And when it's all said and done, you won't change their destiny no more than they will change yours. That's right. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, some of you are so torn to pieces because division and schism in your family. And oh, it just breaks your heart. Of course it does. You're peacemakers if you're born again. But look, friends, many of our family situations and friend situations, all we can do is commit them to God. And know that he's the only one. Some of our circumstances are so bad, there ain't no way we can fix them. Some of our family schisms and divisions are so bad, there's no way we can take care of them. If God don't do it, it'll never be fixed. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, let your peace sweep this way tonight, Lord Jesus. Maybe some facing surgery, Lord. Some facing a bad doctor's report, Lord. But may the peace of God come in their hearts tonight, Father. Some, Lord, may be facing a financial strain or a family problem, something in the home. But Lord, instead of focusing on that, hallelujah, keep them in perfect peace because their mind is stayed upon Thee, O Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We do not look to the sources of the world for our gratification or our pleasure or our peace, Lord God. We come to You, the great fountain, the great river that flows from the mercy throne. Lord, we don't believe it's a little tributary, a small creek that barely has anything left. We believe it's a torrent as it was, still coming down, oh God, with great rivers of peace and joy tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, may every heart be so engulfed with the peace of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hey, sing that song for us. He is our peace, who's broken down every wall. Oh, can we worship Him just a little bit now before we go? Don't you appreciate His word? Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Let's just worship Him together now. Praise God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Who has broken down every wall?
Thank You, Jesus.
He is our peace. He is our peace.
Oh, Jesus.
He is our peace. Who has broken down? Oh,
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you imagine it, friends? The great Almighty Moses said, the Lord is a man of war. And God slew, and God in his wrath and his vengeance, and that sin between him and man. But God changed himself into the form of sonship. And all of a sudden we saw something out of God we never knew was there. It was his heart. His mercy. So instead of him appearing, Brother Dave, as a man of war, they smacked him. They hit him. They made fun of him. He appeared as if a coward. Almost yell, as it were. He's a peacemaker. That's what peacemakers have to do sometimes. They have to hold their peace. So when they brought him before Herod and the ones that who longed to see a sign, they longed to see him do this and that and the other, the scripture said, he answered them not a word. He wasn't acting as a great mighty God to war. He was a peacemaker. And because he did that, I have peace between me and God. Insomuch that I can call him Father, and he calls me Son. Don't you appreciate him?
Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above, sweet. Pillows of love. in fathomless beauty.